Welcome. So we're in the book of Mark, going through the New Testament on Sundays. We're picking up in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. We'd like to do a brief congregational reading together. That's going to be in the book of John. John chapter 20. We're going to read verses 19 through 23. And I read the odd number verses, and then you read the even number verses, but I'll read those with you as well. So, John chapter 20, verse 19. Okay, here we go. John 20, 19. This is in context of Jesus. He rose from the dead. This is the day that he resurrected. And it says here, "Then the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" You might ask, what does that mean? That'll be the end of our worksheet. So we'll get to that in our study. So Mark chapter 1, I'm going to flip back there. If Mark chapter 1, we're picking up in verse 35. The context here is Jesus has been ministering all day, doing all kinds of things, and he's leading up to this verse. He's healing sick people. He's driving out demons. It's after the sun's gone down. He's had a very long day and a long night. And then here, we're just going to look at one verse first here. We're going to look at Mark 1:35 through 2:12. And it says here in verse 35, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." This is Jesus, right? And we've heard this before. It's true. He's our example. You know, you've heard it said, if Jesus had to go and spend time in prayer with the Father, how much more should we? And I believe that 100% agree with that. On your worksheet, I'm going to just make another kind of emphasis here. That number one, spend time alone with God. By the way, the title of the message is Power to Serve, and that's the main power, right, is the Lord working in us. But there's more to it than that that I really want to emphasize. I could almost make this the whole message, but I can't do that. It's the first thing on the worksheet. But the Lord has really touched my heart with this over time. Spend time alone with God. You know why? Because he loves you. He loves spending time with you. You know, you've probably heard it said, when you look at in the world's structure, the more important a person is, the more famous they are, the more hard it is to get time with them, right? But no one's more highly exalted than our God, and all he wants is time with us. He just wants to spend time with each of us because he loves us. And I have under there, it's a quote from Matthew 6 from the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll read that, fill in that blank, you know. But Jesus says there, "But you, when you pray," I like that personally, "but you," take that personally, "when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place." And it goes on from there. And in fairness, in context of Matthew 6, that's where Jesus is saying, don't be like the hypocrites that pray in public and want to make a scene. And, you know, just when you pray, go. And that verse that we just read finishes with, "And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So, right, this is the exact interpretation of the verse, but it's not heresy either. It's just the fact that the Father really wants to spend time with us. And he really, I know that I've shared this before, life is busy for all of us, right? And it is for me, and I have lots of demands. And so I miss time with the Lord. And I sometimes do feel like the seed that's sown where the thorns come to kind of choke it out a little. I don't think that's only applies to believer or unbeliever, you know. But there's nothing like just having time to slow down and sit with the Lord and just however He wants to speak to us, you know. And so it's just such a blessing. And so, and yes, of course, that's what Jesus did. And he depended on the Father, right? He says over and over in the book of John that he only does those things that the Father tells him or shows him. He only does what he sees the Father doing. Very connected to the Father. And but to us, it's just more of an invitation to when I come to be with the Lord, you know, the Lord, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, there's times I come and I'm just kind of wallowing in my sin. I'm feeling guilty for my sin. And I feel like He has said to me over time, okay, I get it. You're a sinner. I'm a Savior, you know. So then from there I go, well, Kevin the sinner, reporting to Jesus the Savior. And I heard a pastor say once, and I don't disagree with this, that prayer isn't giving God orders. Prayer is reporting for duty. But I tweak that a little bit too. When I'm with the Lord, when I have that slow down time with Him, I say, Lord, I'm here to report for duty. I'm here to report for rest. I need rest. Anyone need rest? Don't, you don't have to shout out. But yeah. We need physical rest. We need rest for our souls. That's our mental health, you know. And we need to be reassured. I love that song. I forget which song it was now. I think it was the one about God is so good that talks about look at the cross and look at it, keep looking at it. And that's everything for us. Jesus, he loves you, you know. So I think you know that. So that's, don't worry, I won't spend this long on each item. I really try to keep track of time here. But it's beautiful. Just think of this verse from Matthew 6, the Father's invitation. Come on, let's get alone. You know, I like to joke, when you pray, go into your room. Go to your room. So that's, moms use that as a proof text. Go to your room. You know, that's not the Father. You know, he just wants to be, and he just wants to time with us. And not, there's no condemnation. There's no guilt. There's no list of things that we have to do or expectations. Another thing I feel like the Lord has spoke to my heart over time, spending time with Him, is He says to me, there are no rules, but I rule. You know, the Spirit rules. You know, rule over my soul. Rule over my soul. Sweet Spirit, rule over my soul. So that's the first verse. And to be proud of you, we're going to look at four more verses. But I'm going to give you the answer to number two. And the title again of the message is Power to Serve. So when it says in ministry, I want to pause and say, ministry just means servant. A minister is a servant. That's what that means. So it's not like, again, a higher ranking thing. So in ministry, there are times when we have to say no. Simple word, N-O. You know, I've read it somewhere. No is a complete sentence, you know. I like to say, as a people pleaser, no. It's easy to pronounce. Why is it so hard to say, you know? But it's so important because God calls us to so many things. There's only one of me. There's only one of you, you know. And so let's look at an example of that in our passage. Verses, again, 36 through 39. And Simon and those who were with him, Simon Peter, searched for Jesus. They were with him all day the previous day, so they searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he, Jesus, said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And in verse 39, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So it's important. It's important to say no. I have on your worksheet there, number two, you see Acts 18, that reference there, that refers, that's an example with Paul. He was in Ephesus, and they wanted him to stay longer. He said, no, I've got to get to Jerusalem for a feast, and if God wills, I'll be back. And then when he went on his third missionary journey, guess what? He ended up back in Ephesus. But again, it's so important that we have to be part of, I hope that makes sense. Part of serving is saying no. And sometimes too, here's for you, any other fellow people pleasers out there. You can feel like, oh, it's so carnal, I'm just thinking of myself. But do you like to say no to people? No, I hate it. So good, that's dying to your flesh. So you know, you're going to suffer their wrath, if you will. But it's okay to say no. Let the Lord lead you. We're only one person. So then now, we're going to look at verses 40 through 45. And I'll give you that answer as well. He's going to meet the leper here. Number three, leprosy is a type We're a picture of sin, right? Of our just our inborn sin. Jesus has also touched us and cleansed us from all of our sin. So let's look at the passage here, verses 40 through 45. Now a leper came to him, to Jesus, of course, imploring, begging him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Another gospel says that he said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And isn't this, don't you love this verse? Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." Isn't that beautiful? Jesus touched a leper. That's a no-no. It wasn't curable back then. There was laws that you had to stay so many feet away from a leper. Lepers had to make noise and say, "Unclean, unclean," right? Jesus touched him. Now again, God knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew what he was going to do. But humanly speaking, that would be unheard of. And he touched him and he said, "I am willing." I love this guy says, if you are willing, and Jesus compassionately said, "I am willing." The one guy, the story where he brings his son who has all of the symptoms of epilepsy, but he's demon possessed, and he's a humble guy too because you know the punchline from him. But he says, "If you can, you know, if you can." Jesus said, "If I can, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And what was that man's response?
"Help my unbelief."
Yeah, amen. "I believe," crying. He was up. "I believe, help my unbelief." Can you don't shout out? Can you relate to that? You know, and so it's just this beautiful compassion. But what I like to, I look at it because again, Jesus can do anything. He can heal anyone. He's God, and we believe that. We believe that. We also believe, as one person put it, I think I said this last week, we believe in miracles. We pray for them, but we don't schedule them. It's up to God and his timing. So I know that you can. Are you willing? If it's your will, Lord, it's not a lack of prayer. It's not a lack of faith to say it if it's your will. Because that we're putting all of our trust in him. But and so the balance of it, James 5, it's okay. The fervent, effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Yeah. And so it's the balance, right? But this man, he came in faith, and the Lord said, "I am willing, be cleansed." In verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And Jesus strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Well, before we read verse 45, comment on that. Show yourself to the priest. What does that mean? That goes back, I have on your sheet there, Leviticus 14, verses 1 through 32. That Leviticus 14, we read through the Bible one chapter a day as a church, on our Telegram app. It's an option to read one chapter a day. We're in Leviticus now. It wasn't that long. We were in chapter 14. And here's what chapter 14 of Leviticus, the first verse says. This is the law, or right around there, this is the law of the leper and the day of his cleansing. And again, it was incurable back then. Pastor Chuck used to say it still isn't. They can just stop it or retard it, but I looked it up, and apparently it is curable somehow, but it sure wasn't then. So that was an Old Testament prophecy, if you will, of what was to come later. So Jesus, as you know, he heals a lot of people, and he tells them, go back and tell the priest. And what he's doing is those people, like this leper, are witnesses to the priest that Messiah is here. The Messiah is here. And so that's what that's all about. So then, and then verse 45, he was told not to tell anyone else. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in the deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. So that Jesus had a purpose for telling him not to tell anyone. If you read previous to this, you know, the demons, he's casting demons out, and they're saying, "You're the Son of God." He's telling them to be quiet because the devil at this point in Jesus's ministry wants to make Jesus popular because the people have the wrong idea about a Messiah. He's going to deliver us from Rome and we're going to have an army and all that kind of stuff. And that wasn't it at all. Jesus only accepted all that praise as the Messiah right before he was going to die for us, right? When he rode in on the donkey there before a week before his resurrection, but the week that he was going to be crucified, he allowed them to say, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, you know, the Son of David, which is a term for the Messiah. But this leper, how could he do this? He got so much mercy and he didn't obey God. How could he do that? To get so much mercy from God and then not obey him? Oh, wait a minute. Don't shout out. I got a lot of don't shout outs today. But that's our Savior. You know, he's just so kind. He still forgave this guy. He still loved him. He still healed him. And so it's just a beautiful thing. But now, yes, Jesus is outside in the deserted places. He will come back. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm kind of spiritualizing that. I already gave you the answer, but again, it's parallel. He's cleansed us. He cleansed this man completely from leprosy. And in the Old Testament, you notice if the leprosy's gone, the person, I didn't really explain this well, had to go to the priest back then and bring an offering. And then the priest would declare him to be clean. It said, there's a passage there, a verse there in Leviticus 14, where it says the priest who cleansed him. And it makes me think of our great high priest who cleanses us. And I think of that too. I'm just applying it this way, speaking of our sin as a whole. And that's the gospel, right? Our sin is blotted out. I have also in number three there, Acts 3:19, which talks about our sin being blotted out. You know, it's washed away. When you said yes to Jesus the first time and came to him, he washed away all your sin, past, present, future, right? And that's justification. Justification, we're declared righteous. So positionally, you are to heaven and God sees you as righteous, you and me right now. But then there's just every day we do sin. That's why we have 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So, and to get us back on track, right? And to purify us from all unrighteousness. So from there, we're in chapter 2 now. But the chapters were added later. He just jumps from story to story. What we just read there is like a couple chapters in Matthew or Luke. So now we're carrying on the same theme here, because he is out in the deserted places because it's too crowded for him to be, because everyone knows about him. But then it says here in chapter 2, verse 1, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. See, so the crowd's going to come again. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive him, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And they could not come near him because of the crowd. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. So we're going to look at numbers 4 and 5 on your sheet in a minute, but let's finish the story and read through verse 12 here. So verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'?" And I'll pause there before we finish through verse 12. Again, I'm using these as kind of metaphors. The leper cleansed kind of represents our sin washed away, right? And positionally, we're righteous with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then here, number 4 on your sheet, sin can have a paralyzing effect on us. Effect is the word there, effect. Sin can have a paralyzing effect on us. but Jesus empowers us. And I have Hebrews 12:1 and Galatians 5:17. Hebrews 12:1 talks about how, you know, that we have this great cloud of witnesses, and so we are to go forward in spite of every burden, you know, and it says there the sin that so easily entangles us. So I just think how easily it is to get entangled in my sin. But Jesus in his grace loosens me from that, right? And in Galatians 5:17, where that's the passage at 5:16 says, I tell you to walk in the spirit, and you won't gratify the deeds of the flesh. And Paul says there in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary to each other, so you don't do the things you want. I think we talked about this last week as well. It's sort of both and, like when I want to walk with the Lord, my flesh is just pulling me away, and then when I want to, you know, walk in the flesh, which is stupidity, you know, I got conviction from the Lord. But really how I'm applying it here is that battle we have with sin also kind of entangles us and kind of paralyzes us. But Jesus sets us free, again, because of the cross, because of this ongoing relationship that he has with us, because of the Holy Spirit. The power is all the Lord's. And we just want to ask for the Holy Spirit to continue to be refilled and refilled and refilled, overflowing of him, by him and of him. Again, when you came to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came in you. You have the Holy Spirit. But have you been baptized in the Spirit? Has that happened to you? And it doesn't have to be a woo-woo ceremony. You can just simply ask. It says, this is I don't have it on your sheet, but you can jot down, think of it, Wilson. It's Luke 11:13, where Jesus says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father not give the Holy Spirit to him who asks? And that's more speaking of that, just that outpouring, that so I flow over and others benefit. The other, we'll finish number five soon here. But it's interesting too, just backpedaling a little bit on where we were reading, that the faith, when he saw their faith, I mean, that's faith, isn't it? I'm presumptuous in different ways, but I'm not someone that's going to beat down someone's door if they're not interested. And so if I was there and the big crowd and I can't get to the door, I don't know. Of course, their friend was paralyzed, but it was great faith for them to, and pretty presumptuous, right? To get up on the roof and break through the tiles. And if you've seen The Chosen, they do a good job of depicting that. And they're just lowering him down. But I love how he says to the man, not just the friends, your faith, or your sins are forgiven. It says Jesus saw their faith, but he obviously saw the man's faith. He had faith too, or he would never say to someone, your sins are forgiven because of your friend's faith, right? So this man had faith that he could be healed, and Jesus was going to give him more than a healing. And then it goes on, verse 6, people heard that, they were reasoning among themselves, the Pharisees, right? But look at verse 8, it says, but immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned, this is my argument again. It's not my argument, but Jesus was, Jesus, 100% man, 100% God. And it says in Acts 10:38, that he came, you know, in the power of the Spirit, or he came and he was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do these works. And so I believe it was the gift of the word of knowledge that Jesus knew that they were, you know, that they were saying, this guy speaks blasphemies. He is God. He's God on the earth. He's 100% God. And he says that, you know, but he also says that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And that's where where I left off. Did I read verse 9? I'll read it again. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? So which one's easier to say? Well, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, because how are you going to prove it? But if you say the other, you better prove it. So what happens next? I know you know. That you may know, verse 10, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And what happened? Verse 12, immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." I guess not, you know? And in another gospel, it says that they said, they praised God who gave such power to men. Again, Jesus was a man. He's God. But, you know, Philippians 2:7 says he made himself nothing, or he's God, but he let go of some of those privileges. And some may disagree with that. And I'm not going to fight over that. I'm not trying to build doctrine it's just, he really modeled for us how to depend on the word, like when he's tempted to quote the word to the devil, and how to just depend on the Lord to work through him, on the Father working through him. And read, if you get a chance, just look at, well, it's worth me just reading to you again. It was at the bottom of our worksheet last week. And to be very honest with you, I know that I put it at the bottom of my little verse list here, but it's not there. So I blame that on the devil. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not sure what happened. But Acts 10, 38, this is when Peter is preaching to Cornelius and his friends. And then he says it's hard to give context, but he's talking about Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And again, he is God. We're not just, right? It's both ends. He's 100% God. He's 100% man. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in a resurrected body. And as far as I know, you know, again, I'm interested in your feedback afterwards. I don't think he's going to get out of that. I think he chose a human body for eternity for us. And that's love. That's off the charts love. It's even embarrassing to say it like that. There's no words for that kind of love. So anyway, I gave you effect. So we got through that. And so, and he said, you know, the Son of Man, number 5, the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. And in a sense, so do we. And that takes us back to our reading, back to John 20, verse 23, where he says to the apostles, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. What's that mean? We're not, you know, we're a kingdom of priests, you know, and all that, but we're not, it's not like that, because there's nothing between any individual and God as far as being forgiven. So as I've heard it taught, and it fits with me, see if that fits with you. We we're called just to share the gospel. So when we share the gospel with someone, if they reject it, we can lovingly tell them that, you know, if you don't come to the Lord, you will not make it to heaven, you know. But if they do come to the Lord, and say we lead someone to the Lord, and they come the next day and say, "Oh, I messed up today. Am I still going to go to heaven?" We can say, "Yes, all your sins are free. He's washed them all away." Jesus said in John chapter 16 that he came for sin, because of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Right? And he said, of sin, singular, because men or people don't believe in me. That's the only sin that keeps a person out of heaven, right? It's the only sin that keeps a person out of heaven. What time do we start? I'm almost done here. This might be a short. Okay, yes, I'm getting good looks. So I don't see, they pull out tomatoes if I go. I'm just kidding. I'm messing with our guests, but it's just, that's the power to serve. It's the Holy Spirit working through us just living life, drawing near to God, doing what's in front of us. And again, we're all in the ministry, because if we belong to the Lord, whatever we've been called to do, we're called, he uses us, right? We're all missionaries. So in that sense. So yes, Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you that you've paid it all for us. So we just bless you, and I ask your blessing on each person here and those that couldn't be here, just to continue to experience you and your love and your direction for us, Lord. And we do pray you'd save more people as the world gets darker before you come, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.